taught of the Lord. That's who you want to be taught of or by, is your Heavenly Father. Do you know why? He loves you. He cares what you do. He cares that you return His love. Why? You're His child. Everyone wants to be proud of their children. Everyone wants to love their children. And when children are bad, guess what? They're corrected. They really are. But teaching itself is a discipline. And if you do not absorb that thought, that teaching itself is based upon discipline. That's what the word disciple means, basically, is to discipline yourself in a teaching. That means that you can't run around half-wired in or something else to the Lord and expect to be taught by Him. Why? He's not going to touch you. He's not going to talk to you. If you can't listen to Him, He certainly does not wish to listen to you. Now, we have many people that say, I've never opened the Bible, but God touched me, inspired me, and by His inspiration, I can teach. Teach what? Teach what? God abhors that sort of religion, because that's all it is religion. God gave specific instructions as to what pleases Him and what displeases Him, what brings you blessings and what brings you cursings. It's up to you. Entirely up to you. Now, that is not to say Christians will always be persecuted in Satan's hour. Okay? But hey, bring it on. We can cut it. We can handle it if you're wired in and if you have been taught of the Lord. Now, open your Bibles, if you would. We're going to start back in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 31. While you're turning there, I want to say that many of you remember my security force at Passovers and places like that, and you remember Dwight. He was a very large Afro-American, loyal, faithful, and he was a great part of our security force. And many of you don't know it, but he suffered painfully with lupus, and Dwight passed away this past week, and we will miss that man. He passed away in Little Rock, and we thank our Father for him, and we know our Father has said, my good and faithful servant, well done. We will certainly miss Dwight and his addition to our security, as well as just being a wonderful inspiration and servant of Almighty God. Now, turning to Jeremiah chapter 31, I want to pick it up. This is where the chapter that tells that a father doesn't pay for his children's sin, or a child the father's sin. Pick it up in verse 31, just following that, and it reads, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. They broke it. Although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. The fact that he was the husband is an analogy. Back in chapter 3, verse 8 of this great book of Jeremiah, he tells you there, I divorced them. So God is a divorcee in the spiritual sense, all right? That's chapter 3, verse 8 of this same book. He was a good husband. He took care of his family. Verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After these days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, naturally, this looks on even forward to the millennium, where you won't have to ask your neighbor, do you know the Lord? He will. But what is taught in the millennium then? Discipline. because people will still fall out of love with God and in love with Satan. That's just the way they are. Verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. What a wonderful time that is going to be when we meet with him. Of course, we know that on the first day of the millennium, every knee shall bow to Almighty God through the Son. I want to talk to you about this word teach. Teach and taught is what we're going to be talking about today. When we think of teach, we think, well, that's where you study and they have a teacher there. That's not what the etymology of the word is. The etymology of the word as it is used here is goad. Do you know what a goad is? That's a sharp stick with a nail on the end of it that you goad cattle along with. It's a rod, so to speak. And that gives the incentive to the student to learn. God uses two befores, all right? In love. Now, don't take my word for it. Check me out. You have a Strong's Concordance. Take that word teach and check it out for yourself. It has only one meaning. The very letter lamed means goad. God doesn't play church. When God teaches, he teaches with discipline. And he expects you to pay attention to his word and not the word of some man or some religion, but the very word of God. To obey him is to be in line to absorb and to inherit that promise. I don't know, do you or don't you? Naturally, you're going to be persecuted, but as long as you do it God's way, God's going to bless you and your family. And if you're not, you'll have some person that decided to be a preacher or a teacher or something. He said, nobody listens to me. Well, then you're not with it, friend. If nobody listens to you, it's probably because you don't have anything to say. Now, it is true that not everybody has ears to hear. But if you do it God's way, you're going to have certain that will listen, or at least you will plant a seed. But it's got to be done God's way. That is to say, through his word, disciplining yourself, respecting the word, kissing the paddle, not of man's, but of God's. You might say, well, he's never taken a rod to me. Oh, he hasn't? I don't know anybody that's perfect, and if God loves you, he's going to correct you. Well, things do always go wrong. Well, pay attention to him. There are some things that the world will persecute you over. There are things God will correct you for. That's called the goad. That's his way of getting your attention. You're not playing church with your father. This is a family. He is your father. The question is, do you love him enough to listen to him? And again, yeah, you'll have men that perhaps are chosen to teach. You got to check them out, though, this man or any other man. How do you do that? In the Word, God's Word. That's how you're taught of the Lord, is from the letter that he has written to you. Okay, verse 35, how strong is his promise? Verse 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. He created it. Verse 36, if these ordinances depart before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. In other words, what is he saying? If the laws of nature, that means gravity, or the laws of gravity and so forth, and as much as waves smash against the beach, as long as that beach stops it, that's the way God created it. In other words, naturally, God's natural order of things will never change. Why? because God is the same yesterday, he will be today, and he will be forever. He's not trying to deceive you, and he's not looking for someone to zap or put out of business. He's just looking for obedient children that will listen to him. You know, a scripture pops in mind, and we're going to stop in 31, but a scripture pops in mind, 32, I believe it's 33. Just in passing, let's absorb it. Verse 33 of chapter 32, same book. And they have turned unto me the back, and not the face. Now, if you turn your back on someone, that's an idiom that means they're not listening. They're looking and searching for other things. Though I taught them. Do you know what that word taught is in the Hebrew? Lamed. It is the same word as the word teach. It means to goad, using the two before, using the rod of correction, which is simply means it is a discipline study. Rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. Unfortunately, people would rather play church than listen to the simple instructions that our Father has set forth. And he expects you to receive them, to stay focused on him, not some bunch of trash that some man might concoct. If you want God's blessings, you will stick with God's word and be taught of the Lord and be a blessing to those you come in contact with. The choice is yours, friend. You are the ruler of your little ship called life. And if your life kind of is going on the rocks, well, hey, you should be taught of the Lord and have some smooth sailing. You know, a lot of people think it's always smooth sailing with the Lord. Oh, no. Boy, he'll put you through some storms, but if you're the captain of your ship and you're doing it his way, who cares? We're going through. We got it made. We're can-do type people because we are disciplined in God's word. Therefore, you will automatically be successful. Why? We have the victory in him. Always have had, always will have. For moments, for educational purposes, in his method of teaching, there's going to be some troubled water. But hey, if you're one of God's children, you can cut it. You can smile at it. You can know, I'm going through. Why? God is with me. An old scripture pops into mind real quick that's a promise of that. And I'm going to quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. God, there is nothing will ever happen to you that isn't common to all people. I mean, it happens to them also. And God will never place more on you than you can handle. You got that? It's coming pretty heavy? Well, then that means he's got a lot of confidence in you, just like he did old Job when he said to Satan, what do you think about my boy Job? He can cut it. Well, maybe that's what he says about you, if you can. So, the remainder of that verse is this. He says, I will never place more on you than you can handle, and I will always, that is always, that means forever, show you a way out. Do you believe that? Or are you a believer of Almighty God? Then don't worry. Don't get uptight. When the going gets rough, know you can cut it. Why? You're a child of God. Okay, let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 54. Taught of the Lord, the teacher from whom comes all wisdom. Do you remember when Christ was being led up to Golgotha and that cross was on his back and there were women weeping beside the way, as it is written in Luke chapter 23, don't turn there. You can make a note if you like, but we're going to stay here in Isaiah 54. He said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves, for the day will come when it will be said, blessed are the barren. What did he mean? Blessed are those that are not deceived by the false Messiah, that stay a widow of the true Father. Well, that's what this is about. Okay, chapter 54, book of Isaiah, verse 1, sing, O barren. This is written specifically to you who recognize the false Messiah will come first, and you're going to remain barren. You won't be in within the analogy listed in Mark 13 when God said, through Christ, woe to you that are with child when I return. Meaning you've practiced a wedlock with Satan, thinking he was Messiah. It's not talking about the blessed event of a mother having a child in her womb. Okay. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. Mark 13, you can check it out for yourself in the New Testament. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. In other words, the desolate here means to be numb or stunned. There are a lot of people going to be stunned in the very near future when the false one appears. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stake. What does that say? Make your tent a lot bigger, because the family of God is going to grow like never before. Why? A lot of those seeds you have planted are going to come to harvest. They're going to see the truth. Why? Because you took the effort to plant a seed, and they may not have believed it when you planted it, but when they see it come to pass in what happens to you before the false Messiah, they're going to believe then. Enlarge the tent in one day. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit. The Gentiles should be translated nations. Nations, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Why? The people that follow God, regardless of what their of what creed or color or anything else they're from, if they're children of God, they're children of God, and He's going to use them. Fear not, for thou, there's only going to be one government. I guess you know that, don't you? Only one government, and it's God's government. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. When all these things start happening, don't get shook up. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. In other words, what he's kind of telling you here, when that event comes to pass, and as it is written in the great book of Revelation, in chapter 18, where she says, I'm not a widow, I'm a married woman. That's what the old harlot said in the book of Revelation. You're a widow. God is your husband. And you're not hanging around with the false Messiah, all right? He said, it might be a little rough then, but you can cut it. I'm going to be with you. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. Universal dominion, friend. You want to be a part of it? You got your office yet? Verse 6. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith the Lord. Other people might refuse you. You hold the line. Discipline yourself in his word. Stick with it in Christ's simplicity. True wisdom isn't to cloud the waters as a goat or a hog does, whereby you can't see the bottom. True wisdom is to simplify all things where all people can understand the simplicity in which God, through the Son, teaches, taught of the Lord. Verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. That doesn't mean he's not going to be in your heart. Don't let your heart flutter. We have work to do. And it's drawn out again in the same chapter I mentioned, Mark 13, down to the nitty-gritty of what you're to do. 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. Do you understand the depth of that? Have you ever read the 9th chapter of Genesis? You know what God promised there? He said, every time you see a rainbow, that's a guarantee I'm not going to flood the earth. And here he's saying, as sure as you see that rainbow, that's a guarantee to you that I'm never going to be angry with you as long as you try. As long as you discipline yourself in His Word. As long as you are taught of the Lord to follow Him and not some man, not some organization. Be very careful, my friend, in those that try to slip things under the door of truth, little notes that lead people astray. Be careful. And be more careful of anything than a man that be more careful of a man that comes to you and says, "The Lord gave me a message for you." Hey, if you're a child of God, He knows where you're at. God knows where you're at, and if He's got a message for you, He wrote you this letter. He'll give it to you, all right? He's got your telephone number. Be very careful, because many will come saying, "God sent me," and God never spoke to them. But a spirit did. Do you know what spirit? Be very careful, my friend. There are many spirits of deception running about. There is only one true spirit, the spirit of Almighty God. Okay, verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. This will not happen until Revelation chapter 21. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that have mercy on thee. That is such a wonderful promise, beloved, regardless of how rough it gets, or how you might have a little fear in your heart. God's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you alone. He has a purpose for you. Do you want to serve Him? Or do you want to cut bait and run? Nothing to run from. They're afraid of you. There are no giants for us in the world any longer. We're in charge. We're in control. As long as you do it God's way, not your own. Don't get some hair-schemed idea and start charging out there in the darkness saying, "I'll be a man of God." You're going to find out how quick God's not with you. Follow Him. Don't try to lead yourself. I said, follow Him. If He instructs, then teach. But let God's Word be the action thereof. Verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. He's promised you a stone. We'll say more about that long following, and not today. 12. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. 13. Sharpen up for me. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Not man, not organization, shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Again, I dare you. This particular word is L-I-M-M-A-D. Limmed, a lot like lovemed. Guess what? It still comes from the goad. It still comes from the rod. In other words, this incentive, the etymology of the word is this. Listen to me carefully, just a moment. Is the incentive that the rod gives the student, all right? It means when God gets down to serious business, though He has a sense of humor, He expects discipline. Now, I hope you can understand that is an analogy. And that I'm not saying God's chasing people with sticks. No, He's a God of love. But He doesn't mess around with His teaching. You want me to tell you how you can prove that? You go against His Word when you know better. And I guarantee you the goad will be on its way in your life. It won't be done by man. Your life is about to take a downhill curve. What was that old saying, something about going to hell in a handbasket or something? It's on its way. All right? I'm not saying you're going to hell, but God loves you. And he's going to try to keep you in the right lane, you know, not out in some bar ditch somewhere or something like that, all right? He's going to correct you. Why? He loves you. Again, the word taught of God means he uses the two before. He expects your attention. He expects you to believe him. For what he says is true. Do you know something? If it weren't, what a miserable world this would be indeed. When you take the world for what it's worth, because it is miserable. But we have this hope, we have this truth, and we have his blessings, where we are blessed even today, because we are taught of the Lord. That's your choice. It's your ship. It's your life. Never let man tell you what to do. You think for yourself and listen to your father, your husband, the Lord. All right. He is the teacher. Wow. He's never talked to me. This is all taught from him. This is his word. He sent it to you. You have the capability of reading it and studying it, and you know the tools. Think for yourself. Or you're involved in some cult, if that be the case. I don't care how big the organization is. If you can't ask questions, and if you have to follow their traditions rather than this word, you're in a cult. Think for yourself. Be the captain of your own ship. Be taught of the Lord. And hey, if he has to correct you a little bit, do you know what that means? Just like that sign of the rainbow, it means he loves you. Think about that. I said, when he corrects you, it means he loves you. So rather than getting all bent out of shape, say, thank you, Father. I love you also. Help me get it together. I'm on my way up. All right? Take a deep breath, relax, and know you're a child of God, and then act like it. And you'll be blessed. Okay, let's pick up there from verse 13. I'm going to read it one more time. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. You want your children to have peace? Teach them the word. In righteousness, verse 14, in righteousness shall thou be established. That means you'll be established in what's right. What's right for you. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. God protects his own. I believe that with all my heart. I have experienced it in everyday life. I have experienced it in combat. I have experienced it in many places, driving down highways. God takes care of his own. I really believe that with all my heart. Behold, 15. They shall surely gather together, but not by me. In other words, there's enemies that are going to gather together to come against you. You can count on it, friend. Christ set our example. Do you think they didn't come against him? Well, naturally, if you follow him, they're going to come against you. He says, they're going to gather against you, but it's not by me that they're doing it. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Why? Because God is on your side. You can believe it. It is true. If you are disciplined by the teachings of God. Behold, I want to emphasize, it's emphatic, I, God speaking, have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I, emphatic, have created the waster to destroy. I created Satan myself. Now, it wasn't God's intention that he should go bad, but he still created him, meaning what? I have power over him. That's what God is telling you. I may have created him and he went bad, but I've got power over him because he's a work of my hands, no more, no less. 17, listen carefully. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is in me, saith the Lord. He takes care of his own. You can believe that. It's part of the new covenant. The covenant when you are taught of the Lord with understanding to follow not that that is difficult, but the simplicity of God's word brought forth whereby all men can understand if they strive just a little bit to get into the simple letter that our Father has written us. No weapon formed against you. Ah, they just hate me at work, I think. Well, they can't prosper if you'll get your act together. If you're really in the Lord, they should kind of like you. Okay? That's a little hint. Okay. Now, you all know I don't take a salary from the church, so I have to work. All right? I've had to down through the years, or my family, old Dennis and David, would be in bad shape. All right? Well, they don't look like they're hurting, do they? Anyway, I never, though being a teacher of God's Word, I never mixed teaching and work together unless some person asked for an opinion or a question when we were off duty. You see, when you take time to do something if you're on somebody's payroll, that's stealing. Do you understand what I'm saying? God doesn't like that. If you're working for somebody, give that man his money's worth. And teach at an opportune time. So I'll answer that at the break. Okay? But it's best not to mix religion and work. Some would say it's best not to mention religion and politics. Okay? Well, I'm forbid from teaching politics or even mentioning politics in the sense of parties and that sort of thing. But I am a teacher of God's Word. Always go with the man that you would like your children to grow up to be. That's simple, isn't it? Go with who you would like your children to grow up to be like. That's the example set forth, okay? But be that as it may, that's the kind of leaders you need. Now, so God's saying, nothing can prosper against you. Why? People that are in tune know and understand. And we don't put politics, work, or anything in front of God in our lives. You understand? But we still use common sense. We protect our credibility. All right? Okay. So we finished that chapter now. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go to the New Testament. What does the New Testament say about this? Taught of the Lord. I want to go to second book of Timothy, a doctrinal book. This is doctrine in how to serve the living God. All right? I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to know what it says back up in verse 1 of chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You're in the last days, and boy, have you got it. Just wanted to set that straight. But this sets aside those that serve God with discipline, for you will see none of those things. They still follow God, and they do it God's way. Okay, let's pick it up here, verse 14, but let's go with 13, all right? But let's go with 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can get set for it, but you don't. It's not suffering. It's a badge of honor for someone to persecute you for being a Christian. First place, they can't hurt you. Do you know why? We just read it. We just read it in the Old Testament. And God's the same yesterday as he is today. There's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. Believe it. Okay. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not going to be an easy ride for some. That's why you want to anchor yourself in the solidity of God's word. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who? Your father taught of the Lord. Do you know something? What man says isn't worth 2 cents. It's what God says. Now listen carefully. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able, what do those holy scriptures do? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Did it say some man's theory? I got this all figured out here. Look here. Here's 10 times 2 and 2 and 3. You know, anybody, you know, a computer is a computer. You can throw all kinds of gadgets into it, you know. Make all kinds of riddles and funny stuff. I smile. There are formulas that Father expects us to know and understand. But it is the Scripture, I repeat, Scripture, that makes you wise. Not man's sayings, traditions, that make void the scriptures. The quickest way you can end up in a ditch and to lose the blessings of God for a while is to listen to man instead of being made wise in the scriptures. Verse 16, listen carefully. This is why we came here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It doesn't pay off. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, I want you to know, did it say that God gives you a bunch of men out here that can float around on the air? Did he say he sent them to you to save you? Did he say that he sent men that can spit on you? Poof! Or yell some, damage! And they just fall over. Did he say he was going to send some knucklehead like that? I don't think so. He said, I'm sending the scripture. Use it. That is not to take away from the healing qualities of Almighty God through the Holy Spirit. But God doesn't put on circuses or sideshows. Jesus always, when he healed people, it was quietly. Okay. You know, a strange thing, we're instructed in the scriptures, if you want a healing, use the oil of our people, not spit. Okay. Though Christ himself from the mantle took the moisture to the eyes. But anyway, different subject, different time. What about that word, inspiration? Is given by inspiration of God. What does that mean in English? Well, it means that God, through inspiration, or he inspired you to want to learn. Now, what is that word, though, in the Greek? That's what's important. This is what man translated it, whereby maybe you could get a little whiff of it. And the Greek word is theopneutos. Theos in the Greek means deity. You know that, okay? Theos means deity. It's a Greek word. That's what this is. It's part of this word translated inspiration. Do you know what pneu is? You should. You drive around on them all the time, in a sense, like you've got pneumatic tires on your car. Okay? It means breath or air. Okay? In you. Now let's put all that together. God did what? The deity. And the deity is forenamed as Yahweh, Almighty God. Breathed into you the unction to understand. If you use it for the purposes he just mentioned, for reproof, for doctrine, for your Bible, for your way to know and to understand what it is God would have from you. Do you know what that means? When you study, find out who, when, where, and why. And whom. Okay. All those things are in there. If you don't have the whole picture, you don't have it. Okay. God's word is complete. So it is God himself through the Spirit that breathes into you and gives you the unction to know a truth when you hear it, to know it's a fact, to know it's a reality, to know it's for you. And do you know something? You've known since you were a child that there was more to God's word than you had been taught, and that it was there all the time. And when God is ready to use you, he touches you and leads you into truth, not in some difficult equation, but into the simplicity in which Christ himself taught. So what do you use the scriptures for? Not, well, I subscribe to this little magazine, you know, and I go by brother so-and-so. Now, did that scripture say the truth inspired and taught of God is that you should order brother so-and-so's little book here, and so on, so on, so on, so on, and just strictly hold to that, you know, and hey, he'll lead you through the meadow. Yeah, he'll probably be down Primrose Lane, all right. Now, hey, we're all intelligent, and you have the knowledge and wisdom to know what you enjoy reading and don't read. But don't set your following of God by it. Set it by the doctrine that you are taught in Almighty God's Word. Because the word inspiration here is theos, which is to say the deity of God, teaches you by breathing that into you from his very word. I guarantee you, it's not going to be breathed into you, maybe on you, from brother so-and-so. And maybe he had a hamburger with onions. You know, you got to be careful on these things. Worse yet, garlic, which is so healthy and so good. I jest in a sense, beloved, but understand that word. Please check it out. It's actually made up of two, some could even say three, Greek words. And you must have the full of it to understand the emotion and the feelings that God wants you to understand as to how he actually touches you to lead you, not in some book, but in his scripture. Okay, one more verse, 17, that the man of God may be perfect. That means mature. Okay, nobody's going to be perfect, but fresh and mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, if someone asks you a question, you can answer it with common sense from God's word to help them, to lead them, all right, and assist them. Okay, let's real quickly, to the next book before this, aside from 1 Timothy, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Here we're kind of being warned again of how it would be at the very end, okay? And again, it talks about how some men fall astray. Verse 9 reads, and as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God. I'll repeat it, taught of God to love one another. That's natural instinct. Verse 10, and that word taught is the same word that I mentioned. Taught of God means that he breathes into you that truth. It comes from the base of it. 10, and indeed ye did it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but We beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. But nobody will listen to me. How can I increase? See, this instruction goes to you today. How can I increase if nobody listens to me? Then get smart. Say something someone wants to hear, like the Word of God. In simplicity. Do you know the first mistake that most people make when they set out to be teachers? Rather than to love the person they're teaching and going where they are to teach them what you know from God's Word. Well, I'll just show them how much I know. Well, maybe you know so much that they're too smart to listen to you. Okay, I jest in a sense, but it's true. Usually, as the old saying is, those people that think they know it all sure bore us that do. Okay. Whoa. I'm jesting again, friends. Okay. No problem. Nobody knows everything. Would it be wonderful? Well, I don't know if it'd be wonderful if we did or not, but in His Word, we strive and we try. Okay. But don't try to dump the whole, everything you know on some brand new student. Then you're not impressing that person. You're not helping that person. You're trying to impress them. What I'm saying, go where they are, or you're a sorry teacher. You want me to say that again? If they're a new Christian that understand nothing of God's Word, you've got to go there and bring them up. Don't try to impress them with what you know or what you are. That isn't the mission. The mission is to help that child, okay? I don't know if somebody needed that or what, but it wasn't part of my plan thing. So anyway, we'll skip on with that, all right? Now, you know where we're at here. Increase, that's the name of the game, is to let Christianity grow in truth. 11, and that ye study to be quiet. And to do your own business, that means your own work, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now, this is kind of an example of my life. In a way, I take that scripture pretty serious. And in other words, it means protect your credibility in your community, whereby people will know and understand if they ask you a question, they'll hunt you out to ask questions. In your community, if you give solid, reasonable, helpful answers. Verse 12, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. In other words, somebody that's a non-Christian, that you can walk honestly there, whereby they at least respect you, whereby they'll listen to you. Got it? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that are dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Well, he died and he's in the holding ground out there. Well, no, he isn't. Why? Paul's going to tell you here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Why? They're already with him. Be taught of God. That's what he's doing to you. Don't think that all you put out here in the ground is flesh. And you're through with it. You have a most beautiful heavenly body. Why would you ever, ever want to get back into that thing? Okay, I don't think so. And I know from many experiences on battlefields and various types of work in the Marine Corps and other places, sometimes there's nothing there anyway. But you can't hurt a child of God, because their spiritual body that dwells within this one steps out whole, complete, as God promised. Why can we not prevent them? They're already with Him instantly, just like that. In other words, what he said is, if you believe Christ rose from the dead, you believe they rose also. Right? So I don't want you to be ignorant about that. They're gone. They're out of here. They're with Him. They might not have all made it to the same side of the gulf as Jesus taught in Luke 16, but they're there for judgment. Verse 15, for this we say unto you, by the word of God. that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are dead with sleep. Why? Because they're already there. We can't precede them. Now that's enough on that. You're all familiar with that. But you see, that's why it's so important that you're taught of God by the Word of God, as that prior scripture stated, rather than men. You're not going to believe what some people would teach you out here that those scriptures mean. There are large groups of people out there that teach the horn is going to sound, and them graves are going to push open, and they're going to fly up out of there, and man, we're going to, our old cars are going to crash in the ditch and everything else, and we're out of here. That isn't what the scripture says. It said, I don't want you to be ignorant as the heathen are. If you believe Christ rose from the dead, you better believe they have already also, and they're coming back with him. You know, so anyway, that's why it's important that you're taught of God's word. Incidentally, chapter 2, verse 2 of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, the first 7 verses, Paul really nubs this back and does some real teaching. One more place I want to go here in closing. Taught of God, when God places that go, John, great book of John, St. John, Christ was teaching, and he was talking about his body, which is his many-membered body as well, but it has to do with what we consider as a part even of Holy Communion. Chapter 6, verse 43, and I read, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Well, they were getting excited. Hey, don't we know this cat? Don't we know? He was born right over here and so forth. 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. 45. It is written. Now the question is, have you read it, beloved? It's written. You've got no excuse. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. There's my subject. They shall all be taught of God, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Do you know where the prophets wrote of this? We read it, Isaiah 54:13, Jeremiah 31:34. Micah chapter 4 verse 2, which we did not cover. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10 reiterates the new covenant, the covenant that applies to you and is very important to you. It is written. Have you heard it? Verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. And Jesus would say it in another place. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Do you want it? It's there for you. If you believe his word, if you're taught of him, you do have that everlasting life. I am that bread of life. In other words, he sustains us. He gives us eternal life. In the spiritual sense, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They died. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, or myself, better translated, which I will give for the life of the world, whomsoever will, whoever loves me enough to believe. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him would not perish, but have eternal, I like to translate it, everlasting, because there's no such thing as death in serving the Father of the Spirit, okay? So, taught of God. It's so important. He breathes upon you. And he's very strict. Lemet, the goad. And You know, most good teachers of old times that turned out really good students, they had discipline. I can vouch for it. I know a little lady that had a paddle about that long and it had 18 holes drilled in it. And I've had imprints of many of them. I got the message, okay, loud and clear. But my old agriculture teacher was the one that was really brutal. We called him Dr. Redford. That was his name. He had a palm oil treatment, we call it. He had an old palm leaf, and he had her stripped down. And it was about that wide, and he had it varnished, and it was about 3 or 4 foot long. And back in those days, most of us wore khakis during World War II. And he would lean you over a desk to where everything was stretched taut, you know. And he would rear back with that palm leaf. This was Oklahoma. I don't know where the rascal got the palm leaf in Oklahoma, but he had it. And when he came around with that, I mean, you could hear it outside the room. But most of all, he who was the receiver felt it loud and clear. So, and am I a believer of corporal punishment? Well, perhaps in where it keeps men alive and we won't go into military training or anything, yes, it's important at times when someone might die. But really, what's the difference in civilian life where people are about to have their souls die? Pay attention to your father. Obey him. Respect him. Or he's going to punish you. I don't know if you enjoy it or not. I don't. So that's all the more reason to strive to please him. He's not that hard to please. Why? He loves you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving you. Father, be with us. In his precious name, Jesus. Amen, amen.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. Are you a new listener to Shepherd's Chapel? We know at first glance the Bible may seem a little overwhelming. You may have asked yourself, where do I start?